So we continue with our 1 Samuel series. We are looking at Eli's negligence and downfall. Again, I had divided our 1 Samuel series into 4 major parts. We are looking at the forming of the prophetic office. We had finished studying Samuel as a person. We are now in the next major part of our outline where we are studying the failure of the priestly office. And here we are looking at Eli's failure, both as a parent and as a priest. And this account, as if you would remember, is now serving as a foil, as a contrast to the account of Samuel. And the author, as I had mentioned to you much earlier, was intentional in doing this because I believe he wanted to highlight this contrast. The contrast between a man whom God was raising to be faithful to him, and on the other hand, a man who has failed in his faithfulness to God. And so here we had seen the following. We had seen in verses 12 to 17 the sin of Eli's sons regarding the sacrifice. And then we had looked at the sin of Eli's sons with the women in verses 22 to 25. And right now, we are still in this section, the judgment of God upon Eli and his sons. Last Sunday, we had said that in this section, we will see two things. And these two things are the way that I have subdivided further this section. So what are these two things? This is what we looked at last Sunday. God's charge in verses 27 to 29. So let's read verses 27 to 29 quickly and allow me to just sum up what we looked at last Sunday briefly as we before we move on. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the fire offerings of the sons of Israel? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering which I have commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel?" So here, God sent a man of God, which in the Old Testament, as I had mentioned last Sunday, often or more often than not would refer to a prophet. And in the Old Testament, as I had mentioned to you in the past as well, whenever a prophet appears in the scene, it is because there is judgment coming. And this unnamed prophet gave Eli a very detailed picture, basically, of what was going to happen to the priesthood in Israel. But more specifically, he spoke of the downfall of Eli's family. And here we had seen last Sunday how God, before he charged them, asked them several questions where, in effect, he was bringing before Eli's attention, the privileges that the people of Israel experienced because of God's favor upon them. And not just the people of Israel, but Eli as a priest, the priesthood as a whole. And so after that, we had seen how Eli and his sons had failed to honor these privileges. And because of that, God now charged them in verse 29. Okay, so after showing them their privileges, he now charged them, "You are kicking at my sacrifice and at my offering. You have honored your sons above me. You have made yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel. We ended last Sunday by saying, in one sense, Hophni and Phinehas have the excuse of not being true believers of God. Unbeliever. So what if they were serving God? Just because you're serving God doesn't guarantee that you are a believer. In their case, they were serving God simply because they were in a family of priests. So maybe they were simply serving God out of obligation because they were in a family of priests. Some people serve the Lord as a matter of being religious and not really as a matter of an expression of who they are in Christ. So even as believers, people can serve the Lord. So in one sense, we should not be surprised in one sense at the failure of Hophni and Phinehas. Now that doesn't mean that we should not get scandalized, because what they did was indeed scandalous, especially because of the position that they held. But although as unbelievers, Hophni and Phinehas may have excuse, on the other hand, not us. Not us have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and adopted as children of God. If you would recall, towards the end of the sermon last Sunday, we brought home to us, to apply to us through questions, these failures of Eli and his sons. Why? Because if we are not careful, especially when we are studying narratives or stories in the Old Testament, if we are not careful, we could distance ourselves from the stories, especially since these are stories that happened thousands of years ago. But we must remember, as Paul, I think, had mentioned, my memory fails me right now, if he had mentioned it to the Romans, where he said that these things had been written for our instruction. These stories are there for us to learn from them. Now, I've heard it said, and there is truth to this, whoever said this, but I believe that so many people really have said this, the best lessons are learned the hard way. And sometimes, indeed, because we are stubborn, we have to learn lessons the hard way. And when we learn them the hard way, we learn them well. Now, there is truth to that, I believe. But I'd like to offer to you my counsel. Maybe the best lessons also are the lessons that we can learn from the examples and experiences of others. If we could learn, if we could avoid learning lessons the hard way, why not? Why not? But you see, the problem is many times we have to learn the lessons the hard way because we fail to see what God is trying to teach us in the examples or in the experiences of others. I know I've mentioned this to you in the past. Whenever I'm counseling, I'm also learning much. I'm learning from the problems or the sins of the people that I counsel. As I counsel, I do not distance myself from their experiences as if what they experience is unique to them and something that could never happen to me. No. And I would like you to learn from that. Kung meron po kayong kakilalang ganito ang dinaanan at nalaman po ninyo ito, don't just take that as information. Ask God, Lord, there's a reason for you why you had made me see this. You had made me witness to this. What do you want to tell me about myself regarding this? There are lessons that we can learn actually from the experiences or from the examples of others. If we can avoid learning the lessons the hard way, why not? Why not? But then, having said that, there will be lessons that God will allow us to learn the hard way. Okay? So that's basically where we ended last week. We had seen God's charge against Eli and his sons. This time, we will be looking at Eli's consequences. I had wanted to finish this today, but as I was looking for applications for us to learn from this portion of the story, I felt I needed to give time to some of these applications, some of these expansions. And so we will finish this by next Sunday. So please read now with me verses 30 to 34. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming when I will break your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. You will see the distress of my dwellings in spite of all the good that I do for Israel, and an old man will not be in your house forever. Yet I will not cut off every man of yours from my altar, so that your eyes will fail from weeping and your soul grieve, and all the increase of your house will die in the prime of life. This will be the sign to you which will come concerning your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. On the same day, both of them will die. Allow me to correct myself. This section we will finish. What I was saying, I was hoping to finish, was the rest of the chapter today. But ito po ang ating tatapusin today. So please do read again with me verse 30. These are very heavy verses, brethren. Especially because here we see the great displeasure of God. He's actually angry. And we don't like it when God is angry. We don't like it when God is displeased, do we? Verse 30, therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. I did indeed say. The Lord here was referring to something that he had said earlier. And in all likelihood, this is a reference to Exodus chapter 29, verse 9. Exodus chapter 29, verse 9. And I say that this is a reference to Exodus 29, verse 9, simply because when you read the rest of the verse, I'm going a little ahead of myself here, God was making a contrast with the next part that he was about to say, which was now almost the opposite of this reference. Now please open your Bibles with me to Exodus 29 verse 9, where the Lord gave instruction to Moses. And there we would read, you shall gird them with sashes, who is them? Aaron and his sons, and bind caps on them, and they shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. So you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. And so when you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30 in the first part, this is what the Lord here was referring to. I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father, if you recall, we had mentioned that Eli was actually a direct descendant of Aaron through Aaron's son Ithamar. And here God was saying, I said that they should walk before me. Before me as what? As priests forever. It was a perpetual statute according to Exodus 29 verse 9. Now the word forever means continually. It means indefinitely. However, when you look at the second part of verse 30, God disqualifies Eli and his line from the privilege of serving him. Look at the second part of verse 30. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Those two words, but now, are introducing a contrast, and not just a contrast, but a very stark contrast to God's original intent in Exodus 29, verse 9. Ibang-iba po. Kumbaga parang dito po, binawi ng Diyos yung kanyang sinabi sa Exodus 29, verse 9. It would seem that God was now going against what he said in Exodus 29, verse 9. He was taking it back. But in truth, brethren, he was not. He was not taking it back. And we will be seeing that, especially when we get to the last two verses of 1 Samuel chapter 2. But here, brethren, we see that although the Aaronic priesthood was perpetual, according to Exodus 29, verse 9, individual priests to sin could thereby forfeit that covenantal blessing between God and the sons of Aaron. They could forfeit that. So not because you were called for service does it mean that you will always be qualified for service. In fact, here, the Lord introduces the contrast with a strong and an abrupt opposing remark. Far be it from me. This is called an adversative interjection. Pag sinabi po natin adversative, it is opposing. Pag sinabi po natin interjection, it is a sudden remark. So this is an opposing sudden remark. I did indeed say this in Exodus 29, but far be it from me. It's like in our modern language, but no way. It is an abrupt opposing remark. Eto sinabi ko, but no way. It strongly indicates that something should not be the case. And used by itself as it is used here, it negates something that was earlier stated or earlier asserted in the context. And the context really here was what the Lord earlier mentioned in the first part of verse 30. Now, this is very important, brethren, because here when God says something like this, far be it from me, there is a certain absoluteness to it. There is a certain definiteness to it. No way. Hindi maaring mangyari ito. It's like an expression, God forbid. Almost like saying, I forbid. Let it not be. And so here, brethren, what does this speak to us today? You see, we can undermine our calling from God to serve by sinning in a way that would disqualify us from serving Him. And although we are talking about Eli as a priest, Hophni and Phinehas as priests, although we can apply this statement that I'm making here to ministers or church leaders like me, This actually applies to anyone, any one of God's children who is serving Him. And let me just say this, and you know this, all true believers are called by God to serve Him in one way or another. But we can disqualify ourselves from serving Him if we sin in such a way as the message that we are supposed to proclaim is compromised because of the testimony of our lives. We see this. This has tragically and sadly happened just so many times in church history, even in contemporary church history, where we would find ministers suddenly falling into horrible sin that would disqualify them from the pastoral ministry or from the ministry of being leaders in the church. Unfortunately, grabe po ang skandalo nito sa mundo. But even those of us who are not serving in official ministry, if, for example, you are in your offices and everybody knows that you're a believer and they've seen you share your testimony to other people in the office or in your place of work or share the gospel, and then they begin to see some compromise in your life. They begin to see, for example, that you are just so impatient, mainitin ang ulo. They have seen that when you are angry, you really are sinning in your anger. You don't care how you raise your voice, how you shout. Or maybe they have been witnesses to some of your compromises in the way that you do things in the office. Maaring tumatanggap ka rin ng lagay or whatever it is. And so now when you open your mouth and speak about God or speak about the Bible, now no one wants to listen to you. You have lost that effectivity. That sin has disqualified you from speaking about God at that point. At that point. Now, it doesn't mean that you could never speak about God. But at that point, that you have not yet fixed what you needed to fix, you have disqualified yourself in that sense. Now, mas madali po yan para sa inyo po na wala pong official na posisyon bilang tagapaglingkod ng Panginoon. It's easier for those of us who do not have an official position, but for those of us who do have, you've been ordained as a minister, you can disqualify yourself to the point that you could never again minister as an official minister of the church or a pastor, such as in the sin of immorality, for example. That's just an example. We can undermine our calling. Not because you are called does it mean that you can relax, because you will remain in that calling. And that's why all of us, especially those of us who have been given official positions by the Lord, must fight to protect that calling. Must guard ourselves to protect that calling. And so here we see two reasons in the form of two contrasts for why God said, "Far be it from me." For why God said, "This is what I said, but now this is what I say." He gives two reasons for why He said that. And these two reasons, I believe, come in the form of two contrasts. The first reason He states, "For those who honor me, I will honor." That word honor is actually very interesting. Do you know that in Hebrew, that word honor literally means to be heavy to be heavy. So figuratively, it means to be weighty, may timbang. You give something weight in contrast to treating something lightly. When you treat something lightly, parang baliwala lang, you don't give it enough weight, it's not that important. When you give something more weight, that thing becomes more important. So literally, the word honor means to give it weight. And therefore, to give it importance, to give it honor. Amen? Sa Tagalog, alam po natin yan. Sometimes we describe that in our usual vernacular. Oh, wow. Si ganito, bigatin yan. Amen? And you're not talking about his weight, right? You're saying, wow, bigatin yan. Because you are giving a particular perspective of honor to that person. So here the Lord is saying this. Those who honor me, those who give me what is my due importance. Again, remember, this is the first of the contrasts, of the first part of the contrast here. Those who honor me, I will honor. So this led me to ask, Lord, how do we honor you? What does your word say regarding honoring you? And this is where I had taken a little more time as I was preparing this sermon. And I'd like us to answer the question, how do we honor God? Because this is something that we must be consistently interested in. This is something that we must wake up to. This question is something that we must wake up to every day of our lives as believers. Lord, how can I honor you today? The moment you are at work, you are faced with a ton of things that pressure you, you need to ask, Lord, how can I honor you in this? The moment you are thrust into a situation where which you know would test you. You need to ask this question, okay, Lord, this is hard, but Lord, how can I honor you? You might be put in a situation that might be causing anxiety and fear. Lord, I'm afraid because of this, but Lord, tell me how I can honor you in spite of this and in the midst of this. This is a question that we must ask ourselves as believers every day. So when we look at Scripture, Scripture gives us many ways, but this is what I found, and I think this is sufficient for us, for our purposes, for this morning's sermon. And you can go ahead and do your own study regarding this. But one way we honor God is through being thankful. Through being thankful, not only in word, but also in attitude and life. Okay, again, I'm very deliberate in saying these things. It's so easy to say thank you as a matter of habit. Diba? Oy, thank you, ah, thank you. But are you really grateful in attitude? Or sometimes we say thank you only as a matter of politeness when in our hearts we're not really thankful. Nag-thank you ka lang because para lang hindi bastos, pero sa puso mo, liit naman ang binigay mo. So, we are to be thankful in word, but also in attitude and actually in life. This gratitude must be seen, lived out. The attitude of gratitude must be lived out. Not just spoken of, not just expressed in words, but actually lived out. I found one verse in Scripture that tells us about this in Psalm 50, verses 23, first part. There we would read, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. So the psalmist here may have been referring to thank offerings given at the temple, but we know that this goes beyond those actual thank offerings. And I believe that there is significance in that phrase, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Why? Because many times, brethren, there are things that are hard to thank God for. Amen? How many of us are thankful even for the trials that He allows in our lives? Think of the last difficult situation in your life, the last trying circumstance in your life. Some of you might be even going through that circumstance. How many of you are actually thanking God even for that? Even for that. Remember, the psalmist in Psalm 119 had mentioned, had it not been for my affliction, I would not have known you, or I would not have been revived. So he acknowledged that the affliction was a blessing in disguise. And so this is something that we offer to God, and it honors Him. Thanksgiving honors Him. And we need to cultivate that, brethren. We need to make that a spiritual habit every day for us, every day throughout the day. At the same time, brethren, this therefore tells us, on the other hand, that ingratitude, which is often manifested in complaining, often manifested in discontentment, therefore truly dishonors God, who in His wisdom and grace always bestows on us what He sees best. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Mumble amen if you do. Because He is our children and He gave us the best in Christ. Everything else that He gives us is also good as His children. Because He gives these things, He allows these things in Christ as well. And so when we are not grateful, and this is seen in the way that we complain, then this dishonors God. Amen? Ito, madalas po ninyo marinig sa akin po ito. Be careful when you are complaining about the rain or about the weather, because sabi nga ng Panginoon that He commands the winds and the rain. Be careful when you complain about calamities, because the Word of God says He creates these. You might actually find yourselves complaining of the source or against the source. Be thankful. Be thankful. Whatever it is we're going through, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, at that point, if you trust in the sovereignty of God, His wisdom, His love, and His holiness, at that point, that is what He sees best for you. For you. Another way we honor God is through our giving back to Him from what He gives to us for His kingdom work. That's another way we honor God. So please open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. And there, God, the honor of God is implied when Solomon says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So when we take seriously our giving to God for the work of the gospel, for the work of the kingdom, giving to God, actually giving back to God what He has actually given to us, it honors Him. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. He is honored. And of course, It's not just a matter of giving. Because if you connect that to other teachings about giving, for example, the teaching in the New Testament from Paul to the Corinthians when he says that we must give cheerfully because God loves a cheerful giver. You might be giving the biggest of the offerings or tithes in the church, but if you are not giving cheerfully, God is not honored by your giving. Because God does not need anything. It's actually a privilege for us to give to God. But if we're not giving cheerfully, God says, do you think I need what you're giving? If you're going to be giving grudgingly, sa pilitan, wag na lang. Diba? We also honor God when we show compassion and grace to the needy. We also honor God when we show compassion and grace to the needy. Look at Proverbs 14. Look at the second part of verse 31. Verse 31. He who is gracious to the needy honors him. Wow. When we are compassionate, when we are considerate, when we are thoughtful of those who are in need, whether they are people we are close to or people we may not be close to but we know about and we know that they are in need. Maybe you are only acquainted with them. Maybe you know that you have a neighbor, a literal neighbor who might be in need even if you are only up to the kawaii basis of recognizing one another, but you suddenly come to know that he is in need. And then you begin to show compassion and grace to that person. Guess what? You honor God. You honor God. And I believe, brethren, that one of the reasons why God, in his faithfulness, yesterday we had our gathering with our ministry heads and the ministry core of leaders in all our ministries. And part of that became a time of the elders updating, actually testifying of just how God has been faithful to our church in terms of the way that he's been providing for our church. Naikwento nga po namin na before the pandemic, our benevolent fund level would average 100,000 to 150,000 a month. Nung tumama ang COVID, when everyone felt at the beginning, oh no, what's going to happen? How will this impact the provision of God for the church? Strange. Our benevolent fund levels on a monthly basis is now averaging 200,000 plus. Kung kailan nagka-pandemic? Before the pandemic, all the years, our general fund never made it to 2 million pesos. Today, our general fund for finally hit the 2 million mark. And we were just so thankful to God for his provision. And personally, as a pastor, I was thankful to God for his faithfulness to you who are faithful in giving to him. Providing for you so that you can provide for the needs of the church. Grabe ang Panginoon. Kinikwento ko nga po sa kanila kahapon na pag minsan nagte-testify po ang ibang mga pastor na kakilala ko, grabe itong pandemic. Grabe tama nito sa finances ng church. Even when in our last meeting with CCM, there are some CCM churches, some of my pastor friends were saying, tinamaan kami financially. Hindi po ako makasalita eh. Kasi sa totoo lang sa loob-loob ko, wow, Lord, thank you for just being so faithful to us in guiding light. We don't deserve it, but you're just so gracious. Thank you for the way that you had blessed your people in our church. You had continued to provide for them. And that's why we have also reported how we had given, how much we had given. In these last several months, we had given far more than what we had given from our benevolent fund last year, just in these few months. And I believe, brethren, that honors God. Our giving honors God. In the New Testament, it is also implying that serving the Lord honors Him. Please open your Bibles to John, to John 12. Look at verse 26. I think it is implied there that God is honored when you serve Him. When there the Lord said, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So why will God honor him? Because the serving honors God. Remember what the Lord said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30? He who honors me, I will honor. So if the Lord Jesus says here, the Father will honor him, it means that the one who serves, his service honors God. Are you serving God? Consciously, deliberately serving God? These are some of the ways that we honor God. Those who honor God, He promises He would honor. Now, I wanted to stop at this point as I was preparing this sermon. But I felt in my heart, brethren, that if we are not careful, we might see this. He who honors me, I will honor. We might see this. There is no English expression for this that comes to me right now. We might see this as kaliwaan. How do you say that in English? We might see this as left turning. No. Hindi po. Huwag po natin ito makikitang bilang kaliwaan. Sige Lord, pag ginawa ko to, gagawin mo to. No, no, no. Please, mind you, brethren, this is not an equal exchange simply because it is not an exchange among equals. And I was asking the Lord for a way to express this as succinctly as possible, and this is the best that I could come up with. This is not an equal exchange, because it is not an exchange among equals. Huwag niyong isipin bawian ito. Huwag niyong isipin kaliwaan po ito. Why? First of all, we are but creatures of the Creator. So how can it be an equal exchange? Secondly, we are not just creatures, we are fallen creatures. People who can never boast of whatever we give to God, whether it is thanksgiving, whether it is of our tithes and offerings, whether it is of our service. We can never boast of what we give to God because whatever we give will always be imperfect. Amen? Whatever we give will always be tainted by our fallenness. Sa totoo lang. And therefore, brethren, this implies to us that we can never expect God to be indebted to us. We can never expect God to be indebted to us. Hindi natin pwedeng hingin sa Diyos na magtanaw ng utang na loob sa atin. Another way to express this is this. We can never have a sense of entitlement when it comes to God. Lord, you should give this to me. I deserve this. And as many prosperity preachers have taught the people who go to their churches, claim it because you are a child of the King. You deserve this. Claim it. It's as if, give me what I deserve. This is at the root of that. At the root of that kind of thinking is the thinking that God is indebted to me because of all that I have done for God and given to God. No, hindi po. On the other hand, brethren, when you really think about this, because this is an exchange between the unequals, unequal parties rather, how he will honor us in return will always be far more than we will ever deserve or earn. Amen? Whatever we give to God will always be imperfect. But when he honors us, what he gives to us back in return will always be far, far above what we deserve, far above what we could ever earn. Kasi Diyos yung nagbigay eh. The God who is perfect in all that he is, perfect in his love, perfect in his wisdom. And that's why this is not an equal exchange. This is not an equal exchange. This statement is really a promise of grace. This is really a promise of grace. So please do not ever look at what you're giving as a form of personal investment, where you are waiting for a return on your investment. Kumbaga yung ROI ng investment mo. No, please don't. Yes, you are investing in the work of God, but you're not investing in that for yourself, where you are looking for a return for yourself. No. Sadly, in all of these ways that I had mentioned, in the way that we would honor God, Eli and his sons had failed to honor God, especially Hophni and Phinehas. They had failed to honor God in being thankful. They had failed to honor God in their giving. They devastatingly failed in their service to God. So that's the first contrast. The first reason for why God said, far be it from me. The second, in contrast, he says, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Those who despise me. We looked at that word. That word is very similar to, why do you kick at my sacrifices? Those who trample on God. Not just the sacrifices, but on God. Can you imagine? What a scandalous thought. You trampling on God? Amen? So if we ask the question, how do we honor God? We need to ask the question then, how do we despise God? Now, one way we despise God is when we disobey Him in disobeying His word. Amen? One way we despise God is when we disobey Him in disobeying His word. Please open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. We know this story. This was a story of David, and this was a time after he had sinned against God in his sin with Bathsheba and with Uriah the Hittite, the husband of Bathsheba. And now he was confronted by the prophet Nathan. And God now was rebuking David through the prophet Nathan. Look at verse 9. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword, have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. So God here was not only pointing to his sin against Uriah and against Bathsheba, he was now pointing to his sin against God. And David learned this, because as a result of this, he wrote Psalm 51, and he actually said this: against you and you alone have I sinned, O God. When we sin, even against others, we sin first against God. And this is one way we despise God, when we disobey Him in disobeying His word. Every time we sin, I guarantee you, it is in disobedience to something in God's word. Whether it is something explicitly written or it is a principle in the words of Scripture. It is always something against his word. That's one way we despise God. Another way we despise God is when we is by worshiping him and serving him in a way that is not worthy of him. Please open your Bibles with me to Malachi chapter 1. You're very familiar with this because we did a series on Malachi some years ago. And here you could almost feel the pain of God. Look at verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name? But you say, how have we despised your name? My goodness, they were not even aware of this. You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Will he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Could almost feel the pain of God. We despise God when we worship and serve him in a way that is not worthy of him. Examine how you serve. Examine your attitude toward worship. And when I say worship, I'm not only talking about the singing of songs, coming here, attending service. What is your attitude with regard to coming here? Or even when you are in your own homes, what is your attitude when you're attending the service through the live stream? I hope you're not lying down on a couch or lying down in your bed, unless, of course, you're sick. What is your attitude? Kaya po, nabibless ako, lalong-lalo nung unang part po ng ating pong quarantine. I would be so encouraged with people sending me pictures of their families. Dressed. At yung iba, dressed up to the shoes. Kasi nakikita ko yung picture, napapahiya po ako. I have a confession to make because I would be dressed up to here. Otherwise, I would be in jogging pants. Or even shorts. Pero with neck and tie, di ba? Sila nakabis. Ay, karabing attitude ng mga kapatid pong ito. Praise God for them. Now, of course, brethren, all of these are rooted in a heart kasi that does not honor God. That's why these things are happening. At heart, there is no real honoring of God. And in both these ways, of how that I had enumerated here of two ways only. These are just two ways. There are many more how we despise God. In both these ways, Hophni and Phinehas had despised God. And not just them, but Eli, their father, as well, because he participated in their sins by honoring his sons more than God, by failing to deal with them in a way that would vindicate the holiness of God. We had seen that. They had failed in this. And therefore, what does God promise to those who despise him? They will be lightly esteemed. They will be lightly esteemed. The words lightly esteemed literally means to make light. Figuratively, talagang this is the complete opposite of honor. Yung isa, to be made heavy. The word despised is to make light. So you make something insignificant. Baliwala, hindi bigatin. Sometimes it means to be made despicable or to be cursed. At any rate, brethren, it speaks of judgment. At any rate, brethren, it speaks of judgment, as we will see in the next verses. It speaks of judgment. And so I would like to stop here. Alam ko medyo bitin po. Next week, we will look at the actual consequences. Here, basically, God gives two reasons. That's what we have seen today, two reasons for why he said, yes, this is what I said, but it's not going to be not for you anymore. Why? Two reasons that are contrasts to each other. Amen? Thank you for being patient with me. Alam ko medyo bitin po ito, but I really felt the Lord wanted me to press this upon us today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Blessed Lord and Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet guidance, Lord, Holy Spirit. And I trust, Lord God, that with whatever it is we finish today, you were honored. You were honored. You were given the proper importance, Lord, in the preaching of your word, but not just in the message itself. I pray, Lord, that you were given the proper importance, the proper place of honor in the hearts of your people who had heard this word. That they had not just listened passively. They had not just listened, Lord, so as just to finish a Sunday obligation. But as they listened, Lord God, they were submitting their hearts to you for your scrutiny, to you, Lord God, for your sanctification. In their hearts, they were worshiping you. In their hearts, they were repenting, hopefully at some point. In their hearts, Lord God, they were thankful to you. They were not just listening passively, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that though right now we are in the part of the narrative where we are looking at the sins of Eli and his sons, Lord God, and therefore we too are confronted with our own sins, we thank you, Lord God, that there is forgiveness with you. There is always hope for us who are in Christ, especially with you. And the reason of that hope, Lord God, is in none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. None other than in our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and gave himself up for us, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be adopted as your sons forever in eternity. And your word says, Lord God, that there is no other name under heaven by which all men must be saved, except the name of our Lord Jesus, whose name is above all other names. Thank you, Lord. Let's all please stand before we close. Can we just sing this song again? Declare this now with faith.
Beginning and the end. He was the King who made the common man his friend. There is no other name. Let every tongue proclaim and sing the name of Jesus. Magnify and praise. sacrifice. Oh, thank you, Lord, there is no other day. Let every son proclaim and sing the name of Jesus. Magnify and praise the name of Jesus. No other name but Jesus. There's power in the precious name of Jesus. Jesus, forever he shall reign as King of kings, Lord of all and every living thing. From now on, we'll worship him and praise the name of Jesus. Magnify and praise the name of Jesus. No other name, no other name but Jesus. There is power in the precious name of Jesus.
Offering. There is no other name indeed, Lord Jesus, and we thank you. We thank you that you are the one that we worship. You are the one we love and adore, and that is because you had come into our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Burn this message, Lord, in our hearts right now, and let it affect the changes, the transformation, Lord, that you had intended it for, that we might grow more and more in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we give our tithes and offerings, Lord God, may we give in a way that would honor you. And so help us to give, Lord, with all generosity from the heart. Help us to give with all cheerfulness as well, because you love cheerful givers. Help us to give with the right motive, the motive of love for you, and love for your work in and through our church. And help us to give always standing in faith, even as we obey. Especially, Lord, during these very needy times, Lord God. Guide us, Lord, in our giving. Do guide us. Thank you, Lord. As we go from this place, I pray blessing upon blessing to be on your children. Those who came here especially for the service, those who attended, Lord, virtually in our live streaming. And Lord, continue to please surround us with your protection. Surround us bodily from COVID and the diseases that attend this time of the year. But most of all, surround us with your protection in our walk with you. For your glory, we ask this, O God, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.